phone, whatever it is that you use, please find the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we shall read 2 verses from chapter 1. Amen. Are you there?
Amen.
I still hear pages turn. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Amen. My subject really is my admonishment to all of us, is simply keep the faith.
That's right.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Keep the faith. In trying times, times of toxic political alliances and politics, times of rampant racism, times of the proliferation of man's evil against man, that can be evidenced by police shootings, police brutality, painting racist graffiti on gates and houses of folk. General incivility, one toward another. And really, in many instances, we can find churches that are in disarray. And the preachers have become as dumb dogs. They will not bark. With these perilous times as a backdrop, the admonition from this pastor to all of you is simply keep the faith.
That's right.
Now let me define what we calling keep the faith. If we were to define the word keep, it simply means to hold or observing something firm. And we're saying to each of us, hold on to your faith. Now please understand this. I am not here to baffle you with my brilliance, nor dazzle you with my delivery. It's simply a matter of let's keep it simple, saints.
That's right.
When we talk about faith, faith is taking God at His word.
That's right.
Now I know that the Bible defines, I know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen, Hebrews 11 and 1. But if you take it to its lowest denominator, it simply says, take God at His word. Which then says, it necessitates, I need to know what God said.
That's right.
Can't keep, take Him at His word if I don't know what His word is. So we began by, let's study the Word. Let's know what God says in His Word. Well, I find it interesting because He says something to us in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And beginning at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Take a pause here. What does he say to us? That the Lord hath, if we take away the old English and say has, past tense, the God has already given to us. The us is those who are his.
That's right.
He has given to us all things. Now I would pose the question, what is left out of all?
Nothing.
Amen. All that we need, all that God has for us, he has already given it to us. Now part of the problem is that we have not claimed what God has given us.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's as when God says to Moses, send spies to spy out the land of Canaan, the land which I have given them. But you see, the Israelites didn't realize that they already possessed it, but it simply required that they take it. Amen. Believe what he said. If he said it's yours, then it's yours.
That's right.
Whatever
That's right.
God says that it's yours, it's yours.
That's right.
He gives us these precious promises. Hallelujah. That through the knowledge of him that called us to glory, or called us by his glory and his virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I need not tell you all that's going on. There's a devil loose.
That's right.
But God says we have escaped it because he's a keeper. He's able to keep that that has been committed unto him. While the terrorists are running amok, God is able to keep those that are his. Amen. You see, part of what the terrorists want to do is to keep you off balance. They want you afraid to leave the house. But I want you to know that if you walk triumphantly in what God has said, well, what did God say? I heard him say, there are no weapon that is formed against you will prosper.
That's right.
Now, he didn't say they would come against you, but they will not prosper. I need to know that. I need to know that what God has for me, amen, it's for me. Amen, amen. God says, if you live right, you'll come to the grave as a full chalk of coal.
That's right.
Well, that's why I say, Lord, thank you for all the years you give me.
That's right.
Amen. That comes from living right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, there are those who will shorten their lives simply because they don't want to be obedient to the Lord.
That's right.
But if we know what he has given to us and we claim the promises of God, God will bless us in an awesome way. Then he tells us, and I want to move on, but he says, do not give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Amen. We talk about things that, as the old folks say, don't mean a hill of beans. We spend a lot of time majoring in the minors, and we fail to major in the majors. Amen. Know what's important in your life. Well, let me tell you this. It is important to know that it's in him we live.
Uh-huh.
It's in him we move. And it's in him we have our being.
Right.
We need to know that if you're his, you're in the hand of Almighty God.
That's right.
And nothing can get to you except it is through his divine permission, or he decides, well, let me just see what happens. But God knows how to take care of that that's his.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, when I understand that God knows how to take care of what's his, Then I know how to praise Him. Amen. What does His Word say about life? Glad you asked. His Word says that we who are His have everlasting life. Amen. Everlasting life. John 17, and really the Jesus prayer, the Lord's prayer, He prays in verses 2 and 3, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now you need to be aware of that. The Lord Jesus has power over all flesh. And anybody who comes against you is flesh.
That's right.
They're not getting this.
That's
right. Anything that comes against you is flesh.
That's right.
Now Satan uses flesh.
That's right.
But you see, Satan would not be legal without a body.
That's right.
I don't want to get too deep in this. But you need to know that Satan, and he'll use anybody's body. But we have to know that as long as that body is flesh, amen, God has given His Son power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Well, I'm glad that I was given to Him from the beginning. And then Jesus defines, listen to what He says in verse 3, and this is life eternal. What is it? That they might know Thee, the only true God. When we know the only true God, amen, you have eternal life. Notice what I did not say. I did not say to know about God.
That's right.
Too often we like to talk about God, but it doesn't come from a personal relationship with Him.
That's right.
But when you've got a precious relationship with Him from a personal standpoint, you know where you stand with the Lord.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And the only true God, and to know the true God, you will know Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. He sent Him to be the propitiation for our sins. He went to the cross for your sins and for my sins, that we might have eternal life, that we might be reconciled to Him, that we might have a relationship with Him. I got to tell you, folks, Amos the prophet says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. You can't walk with the Lord unless you agree with Him. Now, part of our problem is we want God to agree with us. Let me say that again because somebody missed that. We want the Lord to agree with us. You know, it's like we want to bring our case to Him and say, now, Lord, this is the way it is, now agree with me. I think I heard somebody said, can you agree with me that this fellow who lived not a good life, but I want you to agree with me that you're not going to really punish him too badly. Who was that? I'm not going to go there. All right. What I want us to see is we want God to agree with us. And God says, I need you to agree with me. And if you agree with me, then we are in agreement. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, he tells us that we have, present tense, we have everlasting life. Number two, he tells us that we can overcome the trials that come in our lives. Amen. We can overcome the trials that come in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, amen, beginning in verse number 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, I want us to get that because it has to be through faith. You got to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to believe that if you're in the hands of God, nothing and no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. You got to know that if God is for you, there is none who can be against you. You got to know that God will make your enemy your footstool. You got to know that if God stands with you, you walk in the power, listen at verse 5, who are kept by the power of God, and it is through your faith, hallelujah, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, your ultimate salvation. You will know that you're saved now, but your ultimate salvation comes when you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. The old folks said no more heartaches and no more pain. That's when you're in the presence, ultimate presence of God. But do you not know, amen, there are two sides to the perseverance of the Christian. Side number one, he is shielded by God's power. Look at verse 5. Shielded by God's power. But number two, he is shielded by his own faith. Amen. God's power is exemplified, amen, when he's able to keep you. But you've got to have the faith to believe that this is going to happen. Amen. I'm not going to get up worried about what's going to happen today. Amen. Oh, laws and means, the sky's falling. No, it's not. Everything is well. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine prosperity. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. It's not poor me. It's poor devil. Hallelujah. Now, I've got to make sure you understand this again from 1 Peter chapter 5. You must know that you are never kept contrary to your will. I'm talking about your will. You've got a will to do what God has said. And you are not kept apart from God's activity.
That's right.
Amen. You can't say I can do whatever I want and God's blessings will be upon me.
That's right.
Not so.
That's right.
God will keep you when you're in his will.
That's right.
Somebody's not getting this. We think that we can do whatever we want and God's going to bless me because of who I am. No, he's not.
That's right.
He will bless you in obedience to his will.
That's right.
You have to submit your will to his will, even as Jesus did and said, nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. Amen. When we operate in that position, amen, and then we operate in God's activity, I am found doing what God has ordained for me to do. Jesus in John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me when? Now, while it is day, for the night is going to come when I won't be able to work. No man will be able to work. But as long as you have the capacity, you ought to do the best you can while you can. Amen, amen. It's never Armageddon. And for too many of us, it's Armageddon. Oh yeah, I'm going to do it, but let me just do this first. Well, tomorrow is not promised. Whatever you're going to do, do it today. Amen. I'm going to get reconciled to so-and-so, but I'll just do it tomorrow. You don't know whether you'll have tomorrow. Everlasting life. We're able to overcome trials through his word. But more than that, and this is what I really want us to see, we can have victorious living. Amen. Victorious living. Now, to do that, if you've got your Bibles, look with me at Romans chapter number 8, Because it's important that we see this in the Word of God, how we're to live victorious lives. Amen. We are never to be beat upon, but rather, what does the Word of God say to us about how we ought to live? Well, listen to what he says, beginning chapter 8, beginning at verse number 37. Nay, in all these things. Now, all of these things he's talked about, amen, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. I think that if you go through this, you'll find every negative circumstance that life can throw at you. But then he says in verse 37, nay, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, there are too many of us who believe that his love peaked out on Calvary. But can I tell you, he has a sustaining love.
That's right.
Amen. Right. He loves us when we're right,
yeah.
And he loves us when we are not right.
Yeah.
He continues to love us. But more than that, he continues to keep us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We are the victors and never the victim. Too often times we have a victim mentality. We are saying, pull me, pull me. Now can I tell you, we need to be able to say, we are more than conquerors through him. Not because of who I am, but because of what he has done. I am a conqueror because he loved me. And because of that, Paul said, I am persuaded. You need to know this of a certainty for yourself, that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, no powers, amen, nor things present, nor anything that is to come, that there is no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able, listen, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I know that Christ lives, and because Christ lives, all is well. Amen. I can say hallelujah. I am a victor, not a victim. Amen. Amen. When I get up in the morning, I'm looking for Satan. Amen. Amen. He don't have to run me down. I'm looking for him. Amen. Because I realize I am a conqueror. How do I look for him? Well, I first submit myself to God, and I resist him in everything, and he has to flee from me. But can I tell you something? When he flees, he just looks for somebody else. Amen. Don't you be that somebody he goes to, because you keep the faith. Amen. You know that if God is for you, there is none who can be against you. Does not matter whether that person is in Washington. Hallelujah. Whether that person is in Austin. I'm not going to worry whether he's sitting at the seat of power in Richmond. I'm not worried because I know in whom I have believed. And I believe that he's able to keep that that has been committed unto him against that day. I'm going to walk in him. I'm going to live a life that reflects him. Too often times we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You live today in its totality, and God will take care of tomorrow. Amen. We're worried. Am I going to pay my bill? Will my children graduate? Well, let me tell you something. If you learn how to trust God, amen, you're not worried about those things because you know, amen, that he, those that walk in him, amen, everything is well. He knows how to keep us in all that we do. Listen what he says as he talks as Paul talks to the young preacher, amen, Timothy, his son in the gospel. He tells him in verse number 18, this charge I commit unto thee. Notice how personal it is, son Timothy. Mm-hmm. According to the prophecies which went before on thee. When they laid hands on Timothy, and amen, and invoked the God of the universe on his life, they knew that he was going to fulfill all that God had for him to do. Can I tell you something? When you came to the Lord and the Holy Ghost received you, don't you know you've got the power of God residing in you? if you've got him on the inside, you need not worry. According to the prophets that went on before thee. Now listen to what he said. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Your faith, the only fight you ought to be fighting is the faith fight. Amen. You're not going to get a 357 and look for the devil. Amen. You're going to get him on your knees. Amen. You're going to keep the faith. You're going to believe that if God is for you, what's going on in this world will not affect you unless God permits it to be so. Yes, God has a permissive purpose, and God has an express purpose. And unless God permits it to happen, and he will do that sometimes, as in the case of Job. But one thing about it, God is moving you from grace to grace. When you're going through hell and high water, it's not that God has forgotten about you. God is building you up to be something more than you could ever be. Oh, I wish I had somebody here that knows what I'm talking about. When you go through your hard time, God is fashioning you. God is creating you to look like his dear son. I don't know about you, but I stop by to tell you the best thing that you can do and the best person you can look like is the Lord Jesus Christ. Too often times, there are those that want to fix their hair like Beyonce. There are those that want to do like so-and-so. But I stop by to tell you the only one you want to pattern your life after is the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to walk like him. You want to talk like him. You want to put on the robe of righteousness like him. Too often we are so concerned. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We are so concerned about how we look to other folk. We spend too much time primping and preening in the mirror. But God says you need to put on the robe of righteousness. If you have the robe of righteousness, you will walk right. You will talk right. You will act right. I don't know about you, but the goodness of the Lord causes us to live right because we've seen the King. God is a good God, worthy to be praised. I have the faith to believe that he's able to achieve that has been committed unto him. So my message to you is keep the faith that you had when you came to the Lord. You believe that he was able to keep you. But when the storms of life are raging, it causes us to have a falling away. I stop by to tell you, when the storms of life are raging, simply ask the Lord to stand by me. When it seems like I can't find my way, simply say, stand by me. When it seems like the evil one is running amok in the world, tell the Lord to stand by me. Somebody here needs to say, stand by me. We find ourselves trying to make our own way, trying to do things our way. But I stop by to tell you, if you ask the Lord to stand by you, everything will be alright. Listen to what he tells Timothy. He tells him in verse number 19, after you have fought a good fight, hold on to your faith. You might have some casualties, and he might inflict some wounds, but if he has a wound in you, the God that I serve, he will heal you. Hallelujah, he will heal you. Somebody needs to know today that the God that we serve, he's a healer. He is a healer. When the wounds come in your life, the Lord is able, if you will keep the faith. It does not matter what comes into your life. I heard somebody say that cancer is no match for the God that we serve. Diabetes is no match for the God that we serve. Our high blood pressure is no match for the God that we serve. Hold on.
that cheap the faith, the faith that was delivered unto me. When I met the Lord, I knew He was all right, all right. Are you able to say, God is, He's all right? Somebody needs to know God is all right. He's all right when you have your down times. He's all right when you're on the mountain peak. I've learned how to trust in God. You see, there are two miracles. We trust in Him when we're on the mountain peak. When we're going through the valley and the shadow of death, can you trust Him? He's the same God on the mountain peak, the same God in the valley deep. I don't know about you, but I stop by to tell you, simply keep the faith that God delivered unto you. And somebody needs to hear this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to Him, you must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Will that bold oppose the question? What is what the reward that He gives? He rewards us with a good life. It does not mean I'll never have trouble, but it means that, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I can fear no evil because God with me. In my hard times, God is right there. He makes all things well. Do you know Him? Have you tried? Can you keep the faith? Does not matter who's in the White House. I know who's in God's house. And if God be for me, who can be against me? God is everything I need. Keep the faith. Walk in His word. I can walk in His word. I'm glad you asked. Well, square your shoulders. Raise your head. Know that God is a good God. He'll never let you fail. Even when it seems like failure has come, you've got the victory. Can I give you an example? There were those on a Friday, they thought the victory had been grasped out of their hands. Here was one they thought was the Messiah, but now here He goes up a hill called Golgotha. They're nail in His hands, ringing in His feet. This must not be God. They lifted Him up, stretched Him wide. He died, He died, sin's mine. The victory was gone. They put Him in a borrowed grave. He stayed there. Can't you imagine? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Can't you imagine? That on the Saturday, the hearts are broken. They're shedding tears. We're not gonna make it. But if they had remembered what He said, you laid this body down. On the third day, I'll rise again. But on a Sunday morning, He got up. He got up. With all power in His hand, victory was sure. And what I love about the Lord, when He died, never to die again. When He got up, angels got up. When He got up, heaven's got up. When He got up, it's all got up. When He got up, all of the world never been born. When He got up, the victory is ours. I'll raise my chin, square my shoulders, walk with the newness of life. Why, I am a child of the Lord. I am all that He wants me to be. Am I perfect? But I am forgiven. Whatever I've done, He washed me white and love and mercy. He washed me with the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin?
about our Father's business. If we work now, we can turn the demographics around. One of the problems that we have is we want to succumb to what's going on in the world rather than understand that God has left us as light and salt. We illuminate. Hallelujah. But you also, with salt, that is the preservative. Amen. This world might be putrid, rotten from the inside out. But if you put some salt of God in the culture of this world. Let me close with this. This is a confused world. And I heard a fellow say, yes, it is. We'll take tea and boil it to make it hot. Then we'll put ice in it to make it cold. We'll date a girl who thinks she's a boy when you can find a boy. Amen. We're confused. We'll find a boy who thinks he's a girl, and you'll date him because you think he's a girl. But you can find a girl. You don't have to have a boy who thinks he's a girl. We'll come to the Lord's house and we want the deacons to pray us happy. We want the choir to sing us happy. We want the preacher to preach us happy. When we fail to realize we should have bought happiness and a joy. Can I tell you this and I'm done? The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to have a joy that the world can't take from you, you want the joy of the Lord. Amen. If you're dependent upon temporal things, they are just that. Amen. What's up today can be down today. If you get a new vehicle, it rolls off the assembly line, headed to the junkyard.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, when it rolls off the assembly, it's headed to the junkyard. So if you're glorying in that machine, you glory for a little while. Then after a while, it's going to get old. And you either have to trade it in or fix it up. Now, let me. I got to share this. Pastor Riley said last week about Governor Edwards with a young wife and a new baby, and he was how old was?
80. The baby was conceived by his doctor when he was 10.
The baby was conceived when he was 80.
But Sarah laughed at Jesus. What happened?
That wasn't Jesus, though. We've got to watch what we believe. And I'm done with this. Mama's baby. That is baby. We shall extend the privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Come without money.